Well, as was made mention, it's good to see this great number out with us this morning. Can everyone hear me okay if I talk like this? Okay. All right. This morning, I'm going to say a few things of thanks. I want to thank the Frasers for putting together this here and letting us use the center here. Also want to thank the men who this morning have already been down to the building to get all the water out. And so very appreciative of all that work and service and help. It's been different for you last few weeks, and it's not quite over yet. It'll be a little bit longer, but so thankful that we can still be able to be together at different parts of the county, in different places, and worship God together. We're going to do something a little bit different this morning, and if you don't like it, you can find Mitch Stevens from Oak Avenue and blame him, because I got the idea from him. We're going to sing a song in the middle of our sermon. We're going to sing part of a song in the middle of our sermon. We're going to sing the first verse, then we're going to have part of the sermon, and then we're going to sing the rest of the verses and have the rest of the sermon. But before we sing, I want you to turn in your Bibles to what would be the scripture reading if we'd done scripture reading today. And that would be Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62. Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62. It says, as they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father. But he said to him, allow the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God. Another also said, I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say goodbye to those at home. But Jesus said to him, no one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. When Jesus started his early ministry, he wanted people to either follow him. People were either wanted to follow him or he invited them to follow him. But they would make up these excuses, even though maybe they desired to go. Lord, let me go and bury my father. Lord, I will follow you, but let me go and take care of my affairs. Let me bid farewell to those at home. And all these excuses began to come up and took control. And so they weren't following as they should. What we're going to do, if you'll turn to number 486, 486. None of self in all of thee. We're going to sing just the first verse. And oh me, oh the bitter pain and sorrow that a time could ever be, when I proudly said to Jesus, all of self and none of thee, all of self and none of thee. All of self and none of thee. When I proudly said to Jesus, all of self and none of thee. All right. There's a problem in our culture. There's a problem today. We have this mentality of me first. And so, Andy, that's the title, Me First, since you don't have a bulletin. There's that problem in our culture and in our society. And to some extent, I understand it. When you're thinking about in a job and people say, do the things that make you happy, chase the things that make you happy. I understand to some aspects that's true. Don't stay in a job just because of the good money and make yourself crazy. Don't stay in a situation that would harm you because the benefits are great. So sometimes it is do the things that make you happy, even if maybe they're not the best financial actions. But when it comes to the Lord's church, that mentality has crept in too. Let me do what makes me happy. That's not what service is about. That's not what following God is about. Following God is doing what makes God happy. Following after Him. He demanded, Christ did, in chapter 9, verse 23, just earlier in this discourse, that those who would follow Him must deny Himself. Over in chapter 14, in verse 26, He talks about the one who would follow Him would hate even his own life for the sake of Christ. And so what we sang just a moment ago, all of self and none of thee. That's the mentality of the me first person. It's all about me. It's not about anyone else. It's not about God. It's not about anything else. And so for what we want to look at to start the lesson is this idea of the me first mentality and how it's crept in to worship. I think first and foremost where we can see it is in our attendance. It's in the way we act and in what we do. The Scriptures reveal the example of Christians gathering together. We often go to Hebrews chapter 10, but if you look in the book of Acts, you're going to see Christians regularly getting together to worship, to share in fellowship, to be together. That's how the early church was. But many will put personal interest before attending every service. We live in close proximity to Nashville. I wouldn't be surprised to learn that there are people who forsake assemblies because of a Titans game. Because that's what we want to do. Has no bearing on God. Recreational outings. Family gatherings. And please, when I say the next one, don't take it the wrong way. Work. I understand at times in our lives we work jobs that require us to work when services are going on. But sometimes we purposely pick up shifts. We take on extra shifts. We volunteer for the work when we know it's going to keep us away from services because that's more important. Sometimes we just want to stay at home. We all get like that. We want to stay at home. Maybe read, watch the TV, unplug, disconnect. We all get that way at times. Certain times of the year can be hard for us depending on things that have gone on. Things that have happened in our life, loved ones we've lost, situations that have arisen. And we just decide we're going to stay at home. Because that's how we would feel better just sitting at home. Or that's what we at least think. And so when we have that me first mentality of where I can put myself before God, before coming to services, that's a problem. There's the me first mentality sometimes in our contribution, in what we give to the Lord. Christians are instructed to give of their prosperity to meet the needs of the congregation. You'll find that over in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and again in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. But many will give sparingly because they're saving up for themselves. Maybe they're saving up for their own retirement. They didn't budget their contribution to the Lord. One of the things we should always do when you're making a budget, and I'm a big proponent of making a budget of your own finances, because otherwise you'll just not know what's going on. Contribution needs to be in what we're budgeting. We need to budget what we're going to give God. Because it is that important. It is that important to give back to the Lord. And so when we're making out budgets, per se, say we're going to take a new job and we're making out a budget to make sure we can make ends meet, are we allowing in that contribution to the Lord? Sometimes our giving is sparing because we're burdened by the things we want. And so I run up my credit card bill on the things I want. And then I've got to pay all my money to pay that off. God comes first. God needs to come first in our attention. That's what attending services really is our attention. Are we giving Him our attention? Are we giving Him our time? We need to give Him our money. We need to give Him our service also. And so we can have the me-first mentality in how we serve each other. Let me tell you, there's been lots of opportunities to serve each other at this congregation just in the time I've been here, especially in the last few weeks. Are we giving of ourselves to serve each other? Are we making sacrifices, maybe on our part, to be able to take care of a brother or a sister that needs something, that needs help with something, needs maybe a ride somewhere, needs maybe a meal, something along those lines? God has blessed us all with the ability to serve in some way. There's some great cooks at this congregation, and there's some not so great cooks. And I'm not saying that because I've ate your food. I'm saying that's just how things are. Everyone, everywhere, there's good cooks and not good cooks. There's good encouragers, and there's not so great encouragers. There's good singers, and there's not so good singers. That's how everything is. But the thing is, we all have our own talents that we can use to glorify God and to serve each other. Maybe I can't cook a meal. Maybe I can't go spend the day at the hospital with somebody. But maybe I can go by before services and pick someone up who needs a ride, because they don't drive at night anymore, maybe, or don't want to drive at night anymore. Maybe I can't do that because I'm coming straight from work, but I have every Thursday off, and so on Thursday I go and maybe I sit with someone, visit someone, go take care of someone's children if they're having a rough time or they're having a bunch of things going on. Maybe I can't do any of that, but I'm cooking for me and maybe one other person. I can double the recipe and take half to someone else. It doesn't always have to be a big sacrifice. It can be changing a little thing to serve each other. Many will take little effort to do their part in the work of the local congregation. One of the things that we cannot say, I would hope, about this congregation is that we don't know each other's names. But you remember at the first of the year, I asked everyone to go home and write out everyone's name, and write something down beside their name about them that you learned from a conversation with them. How many of us have been able to fill that completely in and do that? Do we know our visitors' names? That's one that often shocks me. We pray for these people on our list. Do we know who they are? Because when they were added to our prayer list, we gave the connection in some regard. Darlene was telling me that when she was at the dentist the other day, she talked to Dr. Cannon about how we've been praying for him and how that meant, what that meant. Do we know the people on our prayer list? Know something about them to be able to pray for them? Do we know our visitors? Can we call them by name? Showing that we care. Have we sent them a card? Have we talked to them? Or do we just not care to learn each other's names? Some take little effort in being involved in the service because they don't care about developing their gift. I remember having a conversation about a former co-worker of mine that worked out in one side of the state and I worked in the other. And I remember joking that the worst part about coming to the state was him. And please forgive me for that, but I'd worked with him at the public library level and we traded him away to the state on the complete other side of the state and I thought, I'm done! And then I go to the state and we're co-workers in the same department. One of the problems we had with him was his wife was one of the best pastry chefs in the area. And in 12 years of working there, she and he had never shared with the co-workers. And I know that sounds like something very small and trivial, but her gift wasn't being used to foster those relationships between the staff. Now please, that's not the reason why we didn't. We were happy to get rid of it. But that's just an aspect of the whole idea of caring for each other and developing our spiritual gifts. There are some great cooks, I'm sure, in here. I know there are some great cooks. But have you used that talent to help each other, to help someone else out? Do we find our spiritual gifts and develop them and use them for the sake of the kingdom, or do we let them sit aside because I simply don't care? Sometimes there are those who take little effort in the work of the congregation because they're not involved in the business meetings. They're not involved in the teaching, in the classes. And so since they're not involved in either of those two aspects, they can just come in, sit down, get up, and leave. Because I'm not involved in anything, so I don't have to care. You notice what all this revolves around? Me. My time. My ability. It's all about me. Me, me, me. And then there are some that attend church only to receive encouragement and blessings. And please, I understand we need to be here when we need encouragement. But then when they have the opportunity to give it back, they're nowhere to be found. Because they take, but they don't give. That's the me first mentality. But also there's the me first mentality among our family relationships. Christians have duties to members of their physical family. Look over in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 18. Wives, be subject to your husbands as it is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. Now go over to Ephesians chapter 5. Go back a few pages. Ephesians chapter 5. Starting in verse 22, wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives should be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for it. Now drop down to verse 33. Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife even as himself. And the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. Paul talks in a few places about how the family is to be. How it's organized under the eyesight of God. How it is to be under the providence of God. But families suffer because they put their own personal interest above the family. Husbands and wives are selfish sometimes in their dealings towards each other. Parents divorce without regard to what the impact would be on their children. Children fail to honor their parents. Folks, when something goes wrong in the family, it doesn't affect just the person who went wrong. It affects the entire family. You look at dysfunctional families, what we today call dysfunctional families, it's because someone did something somewhere and you're still seeing the ripple effects. Me first cannot exist in our physical family, and so thus it cannot exist in our spiritual family either. Our service to the Lord, His church and our families is greatly hindered when we have the mentality of me first. It's all about me. Now let's sing the rest of the psalm. Number 486. Before we sing it, that first verse, the bitter pain and sorrow that a time could ever be, when I proudly said to Jesus, all of self and none of thee. when I put myself first, regardless of me saying I'm a Christian, regardless of me saying whatever I'm doing, when I put myself first, it's all of self and none of thee. Now look at the next three lines before we sing them. Yet he found me, I beheld him, bleeding on the cursed tree. And my wistful heart said faintly, some of self and some of thee. Day by day his tender mercy, healing, helping, full and free, brought me lower while I whispered, less of self and more of thee. Higher than the highest heavens, deeper than the deepest sea, Lord, thy love at last has conquered none of self and all of thee. That's the mentality that has to change throughout this as we sing this song. Another thing, as we sing this song, line 2, and my wistful heart said faintly, let's sing some of self and some of thee softly. The next line where it says, brought me lower while I whispered, less of self and more of thee, let's sing that softly. Because if you're looking at the words, why is the heart saying faintly? Because I'm picturing Christ bleeding on the tree for me. Why am I whispering? Because day by day, His blessings have found me and His mercy. And when I think about how I've treated Him, I ought to be whispering, less of self, more of Thee. And then when we sing the line, Lord, thy love at last has conquered, let's sing it nice and loudly, because that's how it ought to be.
Yet he found me, I beheld him, bleeding on the cursed tree. And my wistful heart said faintly, some of self and some of thee, some of self and some of thee, some of self and some of thee, and my wistful heart said faintly, some of self and some of thee. Day by day his tender mercy, healing, helping, full and free, brought me lower while I whispered, less of self and sore of thee, less of self and more of thee, less of self and more of thee, brought me lower while I whispered, less of self and more of thee. Higher than the highest heavens, deeper than the deepest sea, Lord, thy love at last has conquered none of self and all of thee, none of self and all of thee, none of self and all of thee. Lord, thy love at last has conquered none of self and all of thee.
Thank you. So what we find then for the last few moments of our lesson this morning is in Scripture, if there's a me first mentality, then there must be an others first mentality. And so we want to look at it in the Scriptures for just a few moments. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul describes Christ in chapter 8, verse 9, when he says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so that you through His poverty might become rich." Over in the book of Matthew, in Matthew chapter 20, and in verse 28, actually going back up and starting in verse 25, Christ, talking to them, calls them to Him, and He says, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. It is not this way among you, but whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give His life a ransom for many." Christ, when He came to this earth, put others above Himself. Put others first. We are called to be of the same mind and attitude as Paul talks about over in Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, we're going to read verses 3 through 8. Philippians chapter 2. "Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although He existed in the form of God, He did not regard equality as something to be grasped, but emptied Himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." We are called to be of the same mindset, to do nothing through selfish ambition. When Christ is in the garden and they come to take Him away, He knows what's going on. He knows what time has come, because you see that in His prayers. His prayer is very heartfelt, where He's asking God to let the cup pass from Him, but nevertheless, as He wills. Christ in that moment could have been "me first" and called those angels who would have come to save Him, as He talks about. But He willingly went to die for you and I. That's the mentality of others first. To esteem others as better than ourselves, because Christ is the Son of God, and yet He served others. It is to look out for the interest of others rather than our own. You think about Him with the poll tax. He was not obligated to pay it, but seeing not to offend them, He had Peter go and get the fish that coughed up the coin that paid for both he and Peter. We have to sometimes look out for others' interests when ours may be different. And then another beautiful example of the others first is found over in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Second Corinthians chapter 8, read with me verses 1 through 4. "Now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God which has been given from the churches of Macedonia, that in great ordeal of affliction their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord, begging us with much urging for the favor of participation for the support of the saints." These Macedonians, out of their poverty, more than what they might be deemed as able to do, gave freely, gave willingly. Scripture says gave liberally in their liberality. They were able to be so gracious in thinking of others first. That's verse 5. In this we not expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. You see how they were centered. They first gave themselves to the Lord and then to the others. The mentality of me first being put aside enabled them to consider others first. Their liberality continued in supporting Paul to preach the gospel, as Paul recounts to those in Philippi in Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through the end of the chapter. They put God first that needs might be met. So what we have is two mentalities. One is that none of you, all of me, all of self, none of thee. The other mentality is none of self and all of thee. And those two middle grounds are the way we work through getting from one to the other. What kind of mentality do we have? Do we have the me first mentality? It's not convenient for me, so I won't go. It's not convenient for me, so I'll pass. If we're not able, say we're not able. But if it's just a matter of convenience, sometimes we need to be uncomfortable. What mentality do we have? How do we want to be rid of the me first mentality? Because what happens if we adopt the others first mentality? That me first flies out the door. If we will start sacrificing to be able to help others, that me first mentality flies out the door because it changes who we are. The others first principle will be developed if we'll seek the kingdom of God first. And if we'll love our brethren as we're supposed to. And if we'll do what we can for the cause of Christ. That's the others first mentality. We've got a problem in society. And I don't think the answers are just as simple as what we talked about this morning. Oh, they are, don't get me wrong. But getting people to apply it is a whole different ballgame. Our society is being destroyed because too many people want it my way. You disagree? Make a comment about any matter of opinion and you'll see just how vilified you can be because of your opinion. And how vilified you others are because of their opinion. On each and every side of the fence, everywhere you go, it's me first, me first, me first. We need to work to develop an idea of others first. How you doing this morning? Are you here and you need prayers, you need help? Are you here and you need to obey the gospel? Whatever it may be, for a moment, think me first, as in me getting my life right with God. Because while it sounds like me first, it's really about you wanting that relationship with God. So be right with Him this morning. Don't leave here apart from Him. Whatever we can do to help you, we'd love to. If you'll make your request made known as we stand and as we sing the song that's been selected.